Well, happy Sabbath again. So Pentecost is coming up, which of course signifies the giving of the Holy Spirit under the new covenant and the beginning of the church era. So today we're going to look and see what the Bible has to say about the Holy Spirit. And the title of the message is, What is the Holy Spirit? And how does it work in us? And it will cover the points. First point, what is the Holy Spirit? Second point, how do you get it? Third point, how does it work in us? And the fourth point, how do you know if you have the Holy Spirit? So, first point, what is the Holy Spirit? Well, it's not a Trinity. It's not the third entity in a Trinity, but what it is the essence of the Father and Christ in us. It's His Spirit, the Spirit of God the Father in Jesus Christ, and that Spirit is in us. It's the essence of the Father and Christ in us. And if we go to John 14, Jesus talks about the Comforter. He's going to bring the Comforter after His resurrection. But if you read carefully, what He's saying here is that He is the Comforter, and He will be in us. There's only one Spirit, you know. There's only one Spirit of God. And that Spirit, part of that Spirit is living in believers. John 14 and verse 18, Jesus says, I will not leave you comfortless, talking to His disciples. I will come to you. Yet a little while, and the world sees me no more. But you see me, because I live. You shall live also. At that day you shall know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. I'm in my Father, and you are in me, if we have His Spirit, and I in you. He that hath my commandments and keeps them, he it is that loves me, and he that loves me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him, and will manifest myself to him. Now how is Christ going to manifest Himself to us? Through His Holy Spirit. Verse 23, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. We're going to live in him, and we're going to live in the believer. This is really deep doctrine. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit is Christ and the Father in us. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send. He's going to send it, yes, because when Christ is crucified and resurrected, then Christ will be spirit being, and then the Father can send the Spirit. Then the Father will send the Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name. He shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatever I have said unto you. Verse 28, you have heard how I said unto you, I go away and come again unto you. If you loved me, you would rejoice, because I said, I go unto the Father, for my Father is greater than I. So we see that Christ is the Comforter. He's going to come to live in us through His Spirit. If you go to Galatians 2 and verse 20, please. Galatians 2 and verse 20. Paul says, I am crucified with Christ. And he's referring to baptism. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. If you're a believer, Christ lives in you through the Holy Spirit. Paul says it right here. The life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. Christ, and you have to have that faith. that Christ is living in you through the Holy Spirit. In Colossians 1 and verse 27, please. Colossians 1 and verse 27. To whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. That's the mystery. That's the mystery of the gospel. The mystery is that Christ lives in us. And, you know, we can only have faith and understand what the Bible tells us. The mystery among the Gentiles who are coming to Christ is Christ in you, the hope of glory, the hope of the resurrection. If you go to 2 Corinthians 13 and verse 5, 2 Corinthians 13 and verse 5, 2 Corinthians 13 and verse 5, Paul writes, examine yourselves, whether you be in the faith. Prove your own selves. And we need to do that. You know, we need to be always examining ourselves. Don't take your Christianity for granted. Don't take the fact that you have Jesus Christ living in you and you have the Holy Spirit. Don't take that for granted. Don't be complacent. People should know you're a Christian by the way you behave. If nobody knows you're a Christian and nobody... then there's something wrong because we're different. We're different. We have God's Spirit. We're becoming Christ-like. And so people will notice that. People will notice that. And they'll come up to you and they'll ask you, so examine yourself, whether you be in the faith. Prove it. Know you not your own selves how that Jesus Christ is in you, except you be reprobate, except you be disqualified? Don't you know that Jesus Christ is in you? So you can't be complacent. You can't say, oh, yeah, well, maybe he is, maybe he isn't. I don't feel any different or whatever. Don't let that happen to you. You know, make sure you're examining yourself. Now, of course, during the Passover, we take a hard look. And 2 Corinthians 3 in verse 17. 2 Corinthians 3. Verse 17, now the Lord is that Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. So it says, the Lord is that Spirit. Jesus Christ is that Spirit. But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. So it's the Spirit of the Lord, the God's Holy Spirit, that helps us to change, to help us to become like him, from image into the same image, from glory to glory. The Lord is the Spirit. So, what is the Holy Spirit? It's the essence of the Father and Christ in us, but also it is the Spirit of power. It's a spirit of power, love, and a sound mind. If you go to 2 Timothy 1, 2 Timothy 1. So I'll show you the scriptures so you don't think I'm making it up. 2 Timothy 1, 7. 2 Timothy 1 and verse 7. For God, well, verse 6. Wherefore I put you in remembrance that you stir up the gift of God which is in you by the putting on of my hands. So Paul had baptized Timothy, laid hands on him. Timothy received the Holy Spirit. But he's telling Timothy, stir it up, stir it up. We can't be complacent. We have to bear the fruit of the Spirit. We have to be becoming Christ-like. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. So the second point is that we have the Holy Spirit. What is it? It's a spirit of power, love, and a sound mind. If you go to Luke 24 and verse 49, please. You have power living in you. Luke 24, verse 49. So before Jesus was going to ascend to the Father, he says, he tells them to wait in Jerusalem. And then in verse 49, for the Holy Spirit, for the Spirit, and behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. But wait in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. From power. The Holy Spirit is power. Well, let's look at that a little bit. Oh, what power does the Holy Spirit give me? Well, first of all, it gives you the power to resist the devil. If you don't have the Holy Spirit, you can't resist the devil. You don't even believe in the devil, probably, and you don't know nothing about the devil unless you read God's Word. If you go to Ephesians 6, what power do we have over the devil? Well, Ephesians 6 in verse 12. Ephesians 6 and verse 12. Well, you could put on the armor of God. And before you leave the house in the morning, you should put on the armor of God. You should be praying for God's protection because you're relatively safe in your house. But once you open the door and you go outside, you're in Satan's world for sure. But he gets into your house too through the computers, the internet, the TV shows you watch, the music. He gets in there, but you know, once you go outside, you don't know what's going to happen. So Ephesians 6 and verse 12. As many as desire to make a fair show in the flesh, they constrain you to be... I'm in Galatians, of course. Okay, Ephesians 6 and verse 12. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. We can't handle that without God's Spirit. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. And stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, so the belt of truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, God, you have Christ in you, you have God's righteousness in you, and you have that breastplate of righteousness. And your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. You're a peacemaker, not a troublemaker. And above all, taking the shield of faith, wherefore you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. So you have that shield of faith, and you keep walking, no matter what people are saying, you know, about the Bible or about, homosexuals have the right to marry and all that. Now, you know what's right and wrong. You don't let anything shake your faith, no matter what you hear at work, what people are saying about you maybe, or even your family. But we keep the faith. We take that shield of faith. And we take the helmet of salvation. So, it's all up here. It's all up here. You know, some say the heart has some emotions. But when you really think about it, the heart's just an organ. I used to think about it. No, it's just an organ. It's just pumping blood. It doesn't have any emotions or nothing. It's all up here. It's all in your mind, in your spirit, that gives you your emotions. Because we use the metaphor of the heart. But think about it. The heart, it's just an organ. But so take the helmet of salvation. We got to have the mind of Christ. We have to be able, and the Holy Spirit allows that mind to develop, so we know what's wrong, we know the difference between good and evil, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Remember how Jesus rebuked Satan when Satan was tempting him in the wilderness for 40 at the end of 40 days of fasting? And Jesus came back at him with the Word of God. So the Word of God is powerful. You must, memorize scriptures, some of these key scriptures that you have, that you we always talk about. After a while, you're reading a Bible, you're going to memorize, scriptures will come to mind. So we have the power to resist the devil. The devil, as we know, is lurking around, looking whom he can devour. And if you don't believe in him, like the people that don't have the Holy Spirit, they're really susceptible to him. So we can resist the devil. And with the Holy Spirit, we could become Christ-like. We could become a new man. That's power. We become a new man. Colossians 3 and verse 10. You can't do that without the Holy Spirit. You're still the old man, the old woman. Colossians 3 and verse 10. And have, verse 9, lie not one to another, seeing that you have put off the old man with his deeds. The old man was a liar. And have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. Where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond or free, but Christ is all and in all. Christ is not a respecter of persons. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on. And we could put it on through the Holy Spirit, through the fruit of the Spirit, which allows us to be merciful, kindness, be humble of mind, have meekness, long-suffering. Many of these are the fruit of the Spirit. Forbearing one another, in other words, not wanting to do harm to anyone or to have vengeance, but having patience. And forgiving one another, if any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so shall you forget and forgive. And above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfectness. So the love of God, the love of God is powerful. And if we're walking in the love of God, we are in a safe place. Ephesians 4 and verse 22. Ephesians 4. Power to become Christ-like. Ephesians 4 and verse 22. That you put off concerning the former conversation or conduct, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts. But that old man, that old woman will always be with you, but it'll have less influence as you grow spiritually. And, you're not going to lose it. You're not going to get away from it until the resurrection. Ephesians 4 and verse 22. So, that you put off concerning the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. We have to be renewed. And the Holy Spirit gives us the power to renew our mind, to change. It gives us that power. And that you put on the new man, which is after God, is created in righteousness and true holiness. True holiness. Wherefore, putting away lying, it says in, I think, Revelation, no liar will enter the kingdom of God. And you say, oh, wow, lying, that's not so bad. How much? We're talking about habitual liars. It's serious with God. He hates a false witness. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be you angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Neither give place to the devil. Oh, yes, the devil would like you to be angry all the time. He'd like you to always have... when you're angry with somebody, when you hate somebody, the person you're really hurting is yourself. It's like giving poison to somebody. Wait, how does that go again? It's like... Anyway, I heard something that was really nice to... But I messed it up, sorry. Neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needs. So God says, don't be stealing, get a job. But not just for yourself. The job's not just for your own welfare. It's so you can help others to give to him that needs. So that's always a goal when you're a Christian. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that may minister grace unto the hearers. So we have to be conscious of how we talk to each other. And, you know, are we talking to each other harshly? Are we talking to each other in a way that's not uplifting? We need to recognize that and try to change that. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be you kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. So here, these are many of the qualities that you need, that you can develop with the power of the Holy Spirit. And you need to, but you need to be aware, you need to be focusing on it, you need to examine yourself. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 7. 2 Corinthians 5. Christ gives you the power, but you've got to use the power. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 17. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation or creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. But again, that old corrupt nature is still there. But the goal is to decrease the influence of your nature and develop the divine nature of God. And so the Holy Spirit gives us the power to develop the divine nature of God. Galatians 5 and verse 22. This should be a memorization scripture. Galatians 5 and verse 22. And I've kind of memorized the nine characteristics. I think I got it down now, but you know, it took a while. So the divine nature, Galatians 5, verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, agape love, God's love, joy, which is a supernatural joy. It's a joy of the Spirit. Peace, peace that passes understanding. Long-suffering or patience, long-suffering. God, like God has long-suffering with us. Gentleness, goodness, faith. You see, faith is a gift of the Holy Spirit. Of course, our faith can grow as we draw closer to God. Meekness, temperance, which is self-control. Against such, there is no law. So these are not all the characteristics of God, but these are the fruit of the Spirit that we need to be developing and exhibiting with other people. And developing the mind of Christ. 2 Peter 1 and verse 3. 2 Peter 2 Peter 1 and verse 3. According as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, his divine power in us, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceedingly great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And besides this, giving all diligence, and diligence means you have to work at it. You have to, you know, can't just say, you know, oh, I accept Jesus Christ in my heart and he's done it all for me. I don't have to do anything. No. Besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith. Your faith is key, of course. Add virtue, which is goodness. And to virtue, knowledge. And to knowledge, temperance or self-control. And to self-control, patience. And to patience, godliness. And the godliness, brotherly kindness, and the brotherly kindness, love. So that's the main objective, to develop the love of God, the agape love. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. And we also have power to put sin out of our lives, and that's very important, right? You can't put sin out of your lives if you don't have the Holy Spirit. But with the Holy Spirit, we can put sin out of our lives gradually, and have bad thoughts come into your mind. Eventually, you know, when you have grown spiritual, you can just kick them out of your mind and you turn your mind on to something else. You'll have the strength when you're on the internet and you see some suggestive sexual things come up, that you'll have the strength not to click on it. So we have the power to put sin out of our lives. 2 Corinthians 5. Verse 21. For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. So Christ's crucifixion and his blood was shed for our for the remission of our sins, and so why? Well, so that we can be justified with God. Without Christ's sacrifice, we cannot be justified with God. We cannot come to the Holy God. And so we are made right when we accept the blood of Jesus Christ. We're justified is the word. We're justified with God when we accept the blood of Jesus Christ, the sacrifice of his son. And that we might be made the righteousness of God in him, in Christ. So we are righteous when Christ lives in us. But it's God's righteousness. It's God's righteousness that is prompting you to be kind, to be good, to be patient, to love. It's not your own righteousness. It's God in you. It's unlike the old covenant. The old covenant, you were considered righteous if you obeyed the commandments. You were considered righteous. So it was a physical righteousness in that sense, by obeying physically. But in the new covenant, you're righteous through Jesus Christ living in you through his spirit. And we have power. Galatians 5 and verse 16. Galatians 5 and verse 16. This I say then, walk in the spirit. And we walk in the spirit by exhibiting the goodness of God in us through the fruit of the spirit. We're kind to people. We love people. We're concerned about people. We want to help people. We pray for people. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary, the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. Even Paul was saying that, it's a war between the flesh and the Spirit. But if you be led of the Spirit, you are not under the law. Romans 6 and verse, or you're not under the penalty of the law. Romans 6 and verse 12. Romans 6 and verse 12. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield you your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. And verse 11, likewise, reckon you also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So God gives us the power to resist the devil, become Christ-like, develop the divine nature, to have faith. God gives us faith. I think I left that. Ephesians 2, verse 8. Ephesians 2, just want to, I think I skipped that one. Ephesians 2, verse 8. For by grace are you saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, is the gift of God. Well, what's the gift of God, grace or faith? Well, grace by definition is a gift. So talking about faith here, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that's not of yourselves. You can't work up your own faith. It comes through the Holy Spirit. It's one of the fruit of the Spirit. And God gives you more faith as you develop a relationship with him. And that not of your faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. So God gives us power to resist the devil, become Christ-like, develop the divine nature, to have faith, and to put sin out of our lives. And I'm sure there's other examples that you could give. So Spirit is a spirit of power, love, and a sound mind. Love. Just briefly go to 1 John 4 and verse 7. It's a spirit of love, agape love. Not the love of this world, which is fickle and short-lived and, you know, you do something I don't like, I don't love you anymore. 1 John 4 and verse 7. First John 4, verse 7. He that loves not knows not God, for God is love. So if you don't have the love of God in you, you don't know God. In this was manifested the love of God towards us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation or atonement for our sins. I left out verse 7. Verse 7, beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loves is born or begotten of God and knows God. And so, God is love. God is love. As it says in verse 8, he that loves not knows not God, for God is love. Agape love. Unselfish love. It's not based on emotions necessarily. It's based on social and moral obligation that God provides in us to love. We have a social and moral obligation to love and to have affection for people and to care for people. And, you know, Jesus Christ, when he went around healing people, he didn't even know them most of the time. He knew Lazarus, of course, we're good friends, but most of the people he didn't know. And he saw they had some faith, and he healed them. He healed them, and maybe he never saw them again. One guy mentioned the Bible that he did see again, and he told him, you know, be careful you don't sin again, or the worst thing will come upon you. But the point is that Jesus Christ loved everyone. And as it says, even love your enemies. So that's a supernatural love that you can't have unless you have the Holy Spirit. So the Spirit is a spirit of power, love, and a sound mind. It gives us a sound mind. If you go to Philippians 2 and verse 5, Philippians 2. It's all in the mind. Your spirit, your soul emanates from your mind, and we go to Philippians 2 and verse 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. So we can develop the mind of Christ. And that's what our purpose is, to develop the mind of Christ, the character of Christ, become Christ-like. When you have a conflict or an issue, something comes up that you have to make a decision, you should ask yourself, what would Christ do? What would Christ do? Because you are developing the mind of Christ. And Romans 12 and verse 2. Romans 12 and verse 2. And be not conformed to this world, but be you transformed by the renewing of your mind. Yeah, the old carnal mind has to be renewed, has to become the mind of Jesus Christ. Be not conformed to this world, but be you transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. We have to get, our mind has to be in tune with God's will. Our mind has to be in tune with God's will. And you know, we're to hate this world, as it says. Paul says, we're to hate this world. We're not to love this world. We're not even to like this world. This world is evil. We're to hate the world. And we have to have more of the joy of the Spirit. You know, we're not of this world, even though we live in the world. Go to 1 Corinthians 2. The Spirit allows us to understand spiritual things, which is part of a sound mind. 1 Corinthians 2. 1 Corinthians 2. First Corinthians 2 and verse 11. For what man knows the things of a man save the spirit of man, which is in him? Even so, the things of God knows no man but the Spirit of God. You know, you can't talk to somebody that doesn't have the Spirit of God. You can't talk to them about Jesus Christ. You can't talk to them about spiritual things. They won't understand. They won't understand you. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Which things also we speak, not in words which man's wisdom teach, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. You know, you talk to people about Christ, they look at you funny, you know. It's foolishness. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. So don't get mad at your mother or father or your children or people at work, neighbors, if they're not being called and they don't understand. But they might be called. Remember, the children are holy. If there's one person with the Holy Spirit in the family, the children are holy. So I'm not saying don't talk about the gospel, don't talk about Christ, but just don't get frustrated when people don't react. But he that is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is judge of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. This might seem like a contradiction, but it's not. Who hath known the mind of the Lord? We don't know the mind of the Lord. Can we tell God, the potter, where to clay? Can we tell him, you missed a spot over here? Or, I think that you could do a better job over here in molding me. For who hath known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Yes, we have the mind of Jesus Christ through the Holy Spirit. But we don't instruct Christ, but we can have his mind of love and his mind, a sound mind. James 1 and verse 5, we're looking at how the Spirit gives us a sound mind. James 1 and verse 5. James 1 and verse 5. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that gives to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given unto him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavered is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. So basically, we have faith, and that faith is key to our salvation. And so whatever we ask of God, we need to be asking in faith through a sound mind. And so we can have God's wisdom and discernment of having God's wisdom is key to having a sound mind. Okay, so what is the Holy Spirit? The essence of the Father and Christ in us. It's the Spirit of power, love, and a sound mind. And we looked at how it empowers us, how the love of God is in us, and how we have a sound mind through the Spirit. Now, second point, How do you get the Holy Spirit? It's something we certainly want. Acts 2 and verse 38, how do we get it? Well, here's the formula, but of course, God doesn't have to work by formula. There are always exceptions. But Acts 2, 38, then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. So that's a key point. God has to call you, and you have to respond, as we see in the parable of the sower. So we need to be baptized. Does that mean God can give the Spirit to someone who's not baptized? Yes. But this is the formula, though. We need to... Baptism is an act of faith, where we go to God and we say that the old man's going to die and we're going to be a new creation in Christ. And then a minister lays hand on you and you receive the Holy Spirit. Now, you might not feel any different. I didn't feel really any different. You might say, just wet. I feel wet and a little cold. But that Spirit is in you, and over time, some people short time, so it takes longer. So it could take years for really develop to a spiritual level where you really know you're putting sin out of your life, and so basically you have to have faith, and you will see changes. I came into the Worldwide Church in July 1985. I got baptized in April of 86, and I remember two days before I got baptized, I used to smoke cigars, but the cheap cigars, they're kind of the tip kind of gets all soggy and breaks apart in your mouth. So I used to smoke cigars, and I remember just before baptism, I looked at those cigars and I just threw them in the garbage and never went back to them. Now, that's just a small example, but I'm just saying that you will develop a sound mind. You will develop the power of the Holy Spirit and to discern between what's right and wrong, and you will be growing. If you go to John 7, verse 39, John says, sometimes a sin will linger for years, even after you're baptized. A certain sin that really, maybe it's alcoholism, maybe it's pornography, maybe it's whatever it is, that lingers. I mean, you really struggle with it, but when the temptation comes or the stimulus comes, you succumb to it. And so you just have to go back to God, repent and ask him, for the power to overcome that sin. John 7 and verse 38. He that believes on me, Jesus says, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living waters. And that means the Spirit. He that believes on me, out of his belly shall flow. And verse 39. But this spoke he of the Spirit. There, it says it right there. But he spoke here of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. For the Holy Spirit was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified. John 3 and verse 34. This is important to understand. John 3 and verse 34. We don't all have the same measure of the Spirit. Is that because some are more righteous than others? They get more Spirit? No, not necessarily. No. But this is God's doing. And he tells us, John 3 and verse 34. It says, For he whom God hath sent speaks the words of God, for God gives not the Spirit by measure unto him. The Father loves the Son, hath given all things unto his hand. He that believes on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believes not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides in him, on him. So the point here is that the scripture says that God gave Jesus the Spirit, for God gives not the Spirit by measure. So Jesus had the full measure of the Spirit. He had the divine nature. He and the Father were one. We don't have the full measure of the Spirit. We're going to see that God gives us the Spirit for whatever reason, not equally necessarily. And he'll also give some gifts that other people don't have by the Spirit. And the parable of the talents, the parable of the minas, you know, the first guy's got 5 talents, the other one got 2, the other one got 1. That's an example of God giving his Holy Spirit. And now he wants to know, what are you going to do with it? So the point is that what are you doing with the Holy Spirit that God has given you? And he can give you more of a spirit. I just discovered this scripture recently and been thinking about it. Luke 11, verse 13. Luke 11. Luke 11, verse 13. Christ is telling about how you're not going to give your son, if your son asks for an egg, you're not going to give him a scorpion. If your son asks for bread, you're not going to give him a stone. In verse 13, if you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? Wow. I mean, you just have to ask God for the Holy Spirit? What about the formula? What does this mean? Well, first of all, anyone that asks God for the Holy Spirit is going to be someone who God is calling and someone who's being converted. And even if we have the Holy Spirit, we can ask God for more of the Holy Spirit. For more of the Holy Spirit. You know, if we're lacking in some fruit of the Spirit, or the fruit of the Spirit in some way, patience, love, kindness, goodness, we could ask God for more of his Spirit. More of his Spirit. Point 3. So we saw, what is the Holy Spirit? How do you get it? And how does it work in us? Take a look briefly. How does it work in us? Well, it helps us to become Christ-like in mind and behavior. It's changing us. And the way it changes you is through your mind. I mean, let's face it. That's where it's at, your mind. And your mind affects your behavior. It enables us to do good works. And this is key. Once you have the Holy Spirit, you've got to do good works. The good works don't save you. It's like you're walking in the Spirit. It's like Christ is doing these works in you. So it's not something that will save you. But you are expected to use the Spirit to do good works. There's no doubt about it. It's throughout the Scripture. If you go to Titus 3 and verse 8, and that's how people will know you're a Christian and how you will be a light in the world and how you'll be ambassador for Christ. Titus 3 and verse 8. Titus, which is after Timothy, Titus 3 and verse 8. This is a faithful saying, and these things I will that you affirm constantly, that they which have believed in God might be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable unto men. And we know that the Spirit gives you the fruit of the Spirit, which we saw in Galatians 5 and verse 22. That was Galatians 5. Let's go to Galatians 5 and verse 22. Galatians 5 and verse 22. I think this is a different scripture. Galatians 5, in verse 22. No, it's the same one, okay. All right, the fruit of the Spirit. So the Spirit of God gives us the ability to bear the fruit of the Spirit. Galatians 6 and verse 10. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. So we should be loving each other here in this congregation, and we should be doing good works, and we should be caring for each other. But all, not just the congregation, though, but to all men. Do good unto all men. And this is James 2 and verse 17. This is a very key scripture here, James 2 and verse 17. John 2 and verse 17. So, verse 15, if a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace, be you warmed and filled. You know, oh, they have need, but I'll pray for you. Notwithstanding, you give them not those things which are needful to the body. What doth it profit? Even so, faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. So, you know, somebody could be a really good talker, you know. And you say, oh, this is a real godly person. They have a lot of faith. But if they don't have works, their faith is phony. Their faith is dead. And Paul's going to say this three times in the scriptures in this chapter. Faith without works is dead. Yet a man may say, "You have faith, and I have works. Show me your faith without your works, and I will show you my faith by my works." You believe that there is a one God, you do well. But the devils believe. So, you know, you believe in God, that's nice, but you have to have works. But will you know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? And there he goes again. So, faith without works is dead. So, how does the Holy Spirit work in us? Well, it helps us to become Christ-like, enables us to do good works. It also gives us individual gifts. Individual gifts. You go to 1 Corinthians 12. Besides the fruit of the Spirit, which we all have access to. But in many cases, God will give individual gifts through the Spirit. 1 Corinthians 12, and verse 1. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. Verse 4. Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. So we all have the same Spirit, but again, some have more of the measure of the Spirit. And the Spirit can give gifts. And there are differences of administration, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations, but it's the same God, which works all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom. There are some that will have more wisdom than others, and God has given them godly wisdom. To another the word of knowledge. Some will be very knowledgeable than others. By the same Spirit. To another faith. Again, faith is a gift of God by the same Spirit. To another, the gifts of healing by the same Spirit. Now, I don't think we see that today. Not all these gifts necessarily are being given today. We don't see the gift of healing. I mean, God heals, but he seems to do it not in an overt way through ministers. where there's a miraculous healing, but he does heal, and we always have many examples of that, and we know it's God that's healing, but you don't have this minister going around touching people's heads and they're falling over and they're healed. No. To another, the working of miracles. Well, again, during Christ's time, that was a gift, but I don't believe that any man is doing miracles today. To another, prophecy. And prophecy is not coming up with their own ideas about what's coming or where we are now or trying to say something's going to happen. No, remember, we have the Bible. We have the book of Revelation. We don't have people coming and trying to give prophecy that's not in the book. That's a false prophet. But when you have the gift of prophecy, you're able to explain and teach about what the Bible says. So, working a miracle, another prophecy. To another, discerning of spirits. Yes, that gift I think is still here. I mean, if you have the Holy Spirit, you ever meet somebody and you're talking with them and you're kind of like, something's, you're sizing them up, not necessarily deliberately, but your spirit is telling you, about this person, giving you some vibes, And many times you can tell if a person is, he's not genuine or he's got some other. That's a gift of discerning of spirits. To another, different kinds of tongues. And this is talking about, of course, languages, not a spiritual language, but a known language. I don't think this gift is given today. I mean, I've never come across anybody or read about somebody speaking in another language today, preaching the gospel, a language that they don't know, To another, the interpretation of tongues. So again, you can't interpret a spiritual language, but it's talking about a known language. But all these works that one and self-same Spirit, dividing every man severally, as he will. So the Holy Spirit can give individual gifts. In verse 28, and God hath sent some in the church, first apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healing, helps, governments, diversity of tongues. Are all apostles, are all prophets, are all teachers, are all workers of miracles, have all the gifts of healing, do all speak with tongues, do all interpret? But this is key. But covet earnestly the best gifts, and yet show I unto you a more excellent way. And in verse 13 is the love chapter, and that's just what he's saying. Just develop love. That's what you need. Don't worry about these gifts. If you go to Romans 12 and verse 6, please. Romans 12. Romans 12. Romans 12 and verse 6. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith, or ministry, let us wait on our ministering, or he that teaches on teaching, or he that exhorts means encourage, in exhortation, he that gives, let him do it with simplicity. So the people that have a gift of giving, they have more of that spirit in them of giving, more of an encourager like Barnabas was. He that rules with diligence, he that shows mercy with cheerfulness, let love be without dissimulation. I had to look that word up. Dissimulations mean concealment of one's thoughts, feelings, or character, pretense. In other words, let love be without dissimulation. Don't be a phony, in other words. Don't be a phony. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectionate one to another with brotherly love and honor, preferring one another, not slothful in business, fervent, but be fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in the hope, in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer, distributing to the necessity of saints, given to hospitality. Now we're going to go to our final point, and that is, so far we've seen, what is the Holy Spirit? How do we get it? How does it work in us? Now, how do you know if you have the Holy Spirit? Well, a few points here. Has your life changed since baptism? If you look back on your baptism, maybe it was a few months ago, last year, 2 years ago, 30 years ago. Has your life changed? Are you doers of the word, not just hearers? Are you doers of the word? Your life will have changed if you have the Holy Spirit. You're not going to be doing the same things you used to do. You're not going to even be speaking the same things you used to speak. You're not going to be cursing. Although sometimes, you know, if you're a new Christian, it's going to be a little bit of a struggle, particularly when you're in the world. But eventually, you're not going to curse. You're not going to profane God. You're going to have good works. You're going to be kinder. You're going to have more patience. So your life is going to change. You're not going to be probably hanging out with the same people you used to hang out. It's going to be changed. You'll be obeying God. Next point under how do you know if you have the Holy Spirit? Has your understanding of the Bible been growing? You know, when you first receive the Holy Spirit, you can receive the milk of the Word. You're a babe in Christ. You're receiving milk, the foundations of the gospel and of Jesus Christ. But then you have to spiritually grow so that wean off the milk, and now you've got to have meat. And you're going to be able to understand the spiritual things of God, which will help you to change and to develop the mind of Christ. Are you bearing the fruit of the Spirit? You know, good works. Developing the divine nature. You have to examine yourselves. Are you developing a personal relationship with Jesus Christ and God the Father through prayer? Are you praying every day? And the Bible example is to pray at least twice a day, morning and night. And there's examples of three times a day. It's not the length of the prayer, but it's the idea that you're communicating with God and you are developing a relationship. And Bible study. Are you studying the Bible? Remember, Romans 10:17 says, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. You need to be seeking God and his will for your life. What is God's will for my life? If you're making a big decision or any kind of decision, you want to go to God and lay it out before him. And believe me, if it's not his will, doors will close many times. You want to do something, and no, this door's closing, that door's closing. It's not happening. But if it is God's will, he will bless it. He will bless it. And of course, are we putting sin out of our lives, or are we becoming complacent about sin? We have to be putting it out, as the Days of Unleavened Bread showed us. And of course, most importantly, are we obeying him by keeping his commandments? So again, has your life changed since baptism? Has your understanding of the Bible been growing? Are you bearing the fruit of the Spirit? Are you developing a personal relationship with Jesus Christ? And these are keys of how you would know if you have the Holy Spirit. So in closing, if we go to 2 Corinthians, did I already use this scripture? Let me go. 2 Corinthians 13, verse 5. 2 Corinthians 13, and verse 5. Second Corinthians 13. All right. I already read that scripture. Sorry. But again, a reminder that we need to examine ourselves, whether you be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know you not your own selves, how that Jesus Christ is in you, except you be reprobates, except you fall away, disqualified. And 2 Timothy 1 and verse 6, I did read this one too, but it says a closing reminder, 2 Timothy 1 and verse 6. Again, Paul is speaking to Timothy. Wherefore, I put thee in remembrance that you stir up the gift of God which is in you by the putting on of my hands. For God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind.